October 12, 1937. The prayers of one who lives in the divine volition are like commands, and her acts are messengers between heaven and earth. For the soul who lives in the divine volition, all things become divine will. I am at the mercy of the divine will. I feel its anxiety, its fidgets of love for desire of making itself known, not to be feared, but to be loved and possessed. To make all one with it, and then to say to the creature, let's live together, so that what I do, you will do as well. I feel that my love gives me the need to live heart to heart. Or better still, one single heart with you. Please, don't deny me your company. I know that you lack many things to be able to live together with me, but, don't worry, I will take care of everything. I will clothe you with my royal garments of light. I will arm you with my power. I will show off all my love for you, making the life and the love of my will flow into your most intimate fibers. If you only want it, all is done. I remained surprised, and I prayed that he would give me the grace to live on the divine will, because I feared a lot for myself. And my sweet Jesus, during his short little visit, all goodness told me, my little daughter of my volition, why do you fear? There are no fears in my will, but only the highest love, courage and firmness. Once it has decided, it never moves. Even more so, since the soul who lives in it does not pray, rather she commands, and she herself can take, as the owner, whatever she wants. We place everything at her disposal. This, because all is sacred and holy in her. More so, since by living in our will, she will never want, take or command anything but what we ourselves want. So, her commands delight us, make us joyful. And we say, take. Tell us, what else do you want? The more you take, the more you make us happy. Further, when the creature wants our will, all her acts are like many messengers between heaven and earth. They go up and down continuously, being messengers now of peace, now of love, now of glory. Sometimes, they even command our divine justice to stop, taking its just fury upon themselves. How much good these messengers do! As soon as we see them coming before our throne, we recognize ourselves in these acts which, disguised by the human veils of the acts of the creatures, hide our own will, but it's always our will. So, pleased, we say, what an art of love it has! It hides inside the acts of the creatures, so as not to be recognized. But we know it anyway, and, since it is ourselves loving, we let it do whatever it wills. So, we call these acts our acts, and we recognize them as such, although the creature concurred, giving her acts as clothes to cover them. She is the support on which my divine will can lean, delighting in developing its life, in making unheard of prodigies, in hiding itself within the creature as if it would cover itself with her remains. Even more so, since the creation and the creatures have their origin in its fiat living, growing and being preserved in it. The fiat is the actor and the audience of all their acts. They will live their lives in my fiat, and will fly to heaven with one act wanted by it. Everything belongs to it. All the rights are its own. Nobody can escape my fiat. The only difference is that one who lives in it, lives together with it, knows it and is aware of everything it does, delights it with her company, and forms its joy in the confirmation of what my will wants to do in her. On the other hand, one who does not live in it, does not know it, she remains isolated and forms its continuous pain. After this, he added with unspeakable tenderness of love, my blessed daughter, how beautiful it is to live in my will. The creature who does so, keeps us always in feast. She knows nothing other than my will, and everything becomes will of God for her. The suffering is divine will. The joy is divine will. Her heartbeat, breathing and motion all become divine will. Her steps and works feel the steps of my will as well as the sanctity of the works of my fiat. The food she takes, her sleep, the most natural things become will of God for her. In all that she sees, feels, and touches, she sees, feels, and touches the palpitating life of my will. My will keeps her so busy and invested with itself, that jealous, it doesn't allow anything, not even the air, not to be divine will. Just as for the creature everything is our will, so it is for us. We feel her within the whole of our divine being, in the heartbeat and in the motion. And we can do nothing, nor do we want to do anything without the creature who lives in our will. Our love is such that we make her flow in all our works. Together with us she maintains and participates in our creative and preserving act. She is with us, doing what we do, wanting what we want. And we cannot put her aside, since the will we possess is one the love, one the act we do. This is living in our will, to live always together. To be one single thing. And this was the need of our love, to have the company of the creature. To delight together, keeping her in our lap in order to be happy together. Then, since the creature is small, we want to give her our will in order to have the opportunity to give her our life, our act and our modes, and each of her acts ours by nature, hers by grace. This is our joy and our greatest glory. Do you think it's trivial to give our being so that a creature, too small to be able to contain it, can give it back to us, together with herself, and we, in turn, can give ourselves again? It is a continuous reciprocal giving that makes so much love and glory arise that we feel as if we are repaid by her for having given her life. So, each thing she does without allowing our will to enter, is a rip that we feel, a right that we feel being taken away from us, a joy that we lose. Therefore, be attentive, so that all may become divine will for you. Furthermore, for every act the creature does in our divine volition, we redouble our love for her. As this love invests her, it brings with it our sanctity, goodness and wisdom, so she remains redoubled in sanctity, in goodness and in the knowledge of her Creator. As we love her with double love, she loves us with double love. Our love is an operative love, and as it originates from our Supreme Being to love the creature with double love, it gives her the grace to make us love with an ever-growing love. It is impossible for us not to add something more to an act made so great by our will. We can say that these acts are the kidnappers of our love. They kidnap our sanctity, forming their ways to get to know who we are and how much we love her. Fiat.